Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Jesus said that we can tell a tree by its fruit. Our lifestyle reveals whether we are serving God or serving sin. A profession of faith that lacks evidence of righteousness and living for God's kingdom is a false profession. Walking according to God's moral laws and spiritual directives is called obedience, not legalism. Please open your Bible to Romans chapter 6, verse 16, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter.
Chapter 6, verses 16 through 23, as I said before the break, these verses really confront us with the question that you can either be a slave to sin or a servant to God, but no one is free. Everyone is a slave to something. So he says in verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" Matthew Henry wrote this, quote, "All the children of men are either the servants of God or the servants of sin. These are the two families. Now, if we would know to which of these families we belong, we must inquire to which of these masters we yield obedience. Our obeying the laws of sin will be an evidence against us that we belong to that family on which death is entailed. As, on the contrary, our obeying the laws of Christ will evidence our relation to Christ's family." So note here that obedience to the Lord will be a characteristic of every true child of God. A righteous person is a person that characteristically walks in the light. An unrighteous person is a person that characteristically walks in darkness. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, to people that are saved, keep in mind, in 1 Peter chapter 1, it's always important when we're reading the epistles to see how these individuals to whom they are being written, how they are described. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So we're talking about saved people here. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which is called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So obeying, submitting to the Lord, yielding yourself to the Lord. In Luke chapter 8, verse 21, Jesus answered and said to them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And then he goes on and he gives the teaching about the two different kinds of individuals. One that build their house upon a rock, the other that build their house upon the sand. By saying, "Know ye not," Paul is making a very clear statement that can be used as a way to measure who is and who isn't a true follower of Jesus Christ. You are either characteristically yielding your life to live righteously, or you are yielding your life to live unrighteously. There's no neutral ground. You can't be kind of saved and kind of unsaved. You know, you can't kind of be a child of God and kind of not. You're either or. Listen to other know ye not phrases found in the scripture along these lines. In James chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enmity or the enemy of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, we read, know ye not, there's that phrase again, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Praise God for that. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Now, again, in chapter, in verses 17 through 23, there are only two kinds of bondservants, to sin or to God. And in verses 17 and 18, we find the origins of each. Born into slavery to sin, brought into slavery to God by conversion. He says, thanks be, or God be thanked, that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. But God be thanked. That's another way of saying by the grace of God. The word form here speaks of a mold. As the wax is cast into the impression of the mold, as we yield ourselves to the Word of God, our lives begin to get molded into the image of Jesus Christ more and more. You see, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not only a doctrine to be believed, which it is, but it's a doctrine that is to be lived, that can be obeyed. The gospel, properly understanding the gospel, will not only affect what you believe, but how you behave. You're going to be living differently than you were before. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Notice that the born again child of God is a servant of righteousness. I speak, verse 19, after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And so we see here, slavery to sin results in ever-increasing wickedness and what? And bondage. Where slavery to God leads to ever-increasing holiness and freedom. Holiness. What is the essence of holiness? Well, as we said in the first sessions, the word holiness itself speaks of separation. But if you only think of what you're separated from, you're missing it. It's what you're separated unto. We're not only separated from sin, we're separated unto God. Think more of what you are separated unto than what you're separated from. If all you do is concentrate on what you're separated from, then you're going to become more sin conscious. But think of what you're separated, who you're separated unto. I'm separated unto God. That's how we need to focus here. It's being separated unto God, separated by the word, to the will of God, instead of my flesh. Listen to what the Holy Scripture says about holiness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, we read, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So God wants us to grow up. The word perfecting means grow up. The Bible talks about being perfect. I have a devotional that I'm reading right now by Andrew Murray. It's How to Be Perfect. It's a great devotional. And I shared this with our congregation on Sunday morning. What does it mean to be perfect? Well, it doesn't mean to be sinless. It doesn't mean that you'll never sin. It never means that you'll never fail. It means that your heart is sincere and honest and tender towards God. That you're yielded to him. You're going to believe him. You're going to follow him. And when you fail and when you fall, you're going to believe that he forgives you and restores you. Your heart is inclined towards God. And so the Bible says that we are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. So as a believer, we bring garbage into this union, don't we? There's a whole lot of trash that has to be moved out. Now, when you think of the prodigal sons, not son, in Luke 15, there are prodigal sons. There is the prodigal that is guilty of sins of the flesh. There's the other prodigal, the goody two shoes, that's guilty of sins of the spirit. They had to both be cleansed. They had to both be redeemed. So holiness is something that is a byproduct of walking with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, we read, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Now, when you do sin, when you do fail, when you do get out of harmony with the Lord, he is going to chasten you. It's not punishment, it's correction. And Hebrews 12, verse 10 says, "For they, that is earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Iniquity that is mentioned here is the opposite of righteousness. Iniquity is the opposite of holiness. Iniquity is the life of an unregenerate person. They think iniquity, they eat iniquity, they drink iniquity, they meditate on iniquity. That's all their life is thinking of. And don't just think in terms of the sensual, just this fallen world. It says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, a word a phrase that we can often miss. It says that God delivered how Christ, verse 4, gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. You know the word evil? It's a Greek word where we get the English word pornography. This fallen world system is pornographic from start to finish in attitudes and desires and goals and everything. And so God calls us to be holy, to resist living that way. It says of Jesus in chapter 1, verse 9 of the book of Hebrews, thou hast loved iniquity, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Wow, what a correction there, yeah. It's like the time I was teaching on holiness and how we had to resist the devil at church, and I said, probably one of the gazillion blunders I've said from the pulpit, says, and don't you ever forget, Satan wants to bless your life. Everybody's looking at me. My wife's in the back going, I'm saying, don't forget, God wants to bless your life. But it didn't come out that way. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. He hates it. And you and I, we should hate things. There are things in this world that we should hate. How should the child of God that is walking in the love of God think about iniquity? 1 Corinthians 13 says that love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. What did the Lord Jesus say to a group of self-righteous religious men who, let's just say, went to church, spoke fluent Christianese, but lived a double life, one at church and another at home? Matthew 23:28. Even so, ye also outwardly appear to be righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And as I read from Titus in our last sessions, one of the reasons that Jesus died on the cross was to cleanse our lives of iniquity. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What are the last words that an unregenerate person will hear from the lips of the Master on Judgment Day? Matthew 7:23. I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And so in verse 20, for when you were, past 10, the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The devil is always going to harass the child of God because of the lifestyle that you and I once lived. And when you do sin and you do fail, he is called the accuser of the brethren. Remember? He'll tempt you to sin, and then he will get in your face, and he will be the accuser of the brethren. Beloved, don't let the devil harass you for 1 second any longer. Christ has taken all of your shame and sin on the cross. And he says, for my sake, resist that temptation. But now, verse 22 and 23. But now, whenever you read that phrase, but now, circle it. Because it means right now. Right now, at 11:26 a.m. on Tuesday, February 16th. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is not an extension of life beyond the grave, because every human being is going to live eternally somewhere. The Bible says that there are two destinies of all mankind. Daniel 12:2. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Acts 24:15 says there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation from start to finish is the gift of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, Jesus is identified as being both the author and the finisher of our faith. So Christ is our salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That first part of the verse, the wages of sin is death, that shows what we deserve. The second part of the verse, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, shows us what God gives. Sin is the cause of death, and death is the fruit of sin. But God gives us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The initial question of Romans chapter 6 verse 1 is really answered in verse 23. If a person shows no signs of repentance or change of behavior, no matter what they may proclaim to believe, Paul would say that individual is ignorant of the grace of God. There is some measure of change, so some measure of new life. There has to be. That's what the Bible declares. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.